Hello, my name is Scooter, and welcome to July 2005 in Review. Pretty busy stuff.
A short time ago, I had a warm conversation with Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who has decided to retire from the Supreme Court of the United States. Under the Constitution, I am responsible for nominating a successor to Justice O'Connor.
The nation also deserves a dignified process. Confirmation of the United States.
I will be deliberate and thorough in this process. I have directed my staff, in cooperation with the Department of Justice, to compile information and recommend for my review. I will choose a nominee to meet a high standard of legal ability, judgment, and integrity, and who will faithfully interpret the Constitution and laws of our country. The nation deserves, and I will select a Supreme Court justice that many are facing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to the Hispanic Alliance for Free Trade for inviting me here today, and thanks to the Organization for American States for providing this fantastic forum. What a beautiful building.
Elaine, we're in the midst of an ongoing investigation. And this is a serious investigation. And it is very important for people not to prejudge the investigation based on media reports. And again, I will be more than happy to comment on this matter once the investigation
is complete. Thank you, please be seated. Thanks for the warm welcome. It's great to be back in North Carolina. It's always good to get outside the Beltway and into NASCAR country. I appreciate the chance to stand with some of the finest workers in America, the men and women of Stowe Mills. I appreciate you all. And I thank you for giving me the chance to come and discuss an important topic, and that is, how do we make sure our job creation continues? That's what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about making sure that people treat us the way we treat them. I want to talk to you about what they call CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement. CAFTA is important for job creation. It's important for your jobs. CAFTA is important to help secure the democracies in our own neighborhood. And so, for the sake of our economic security and for the sake of national security, the United States House of Representatives should follow the lead of the United States Senate and pass CAFTA and get that bill to my desk. At this hour, our men and women in uniform are defending America against the threats of the 21st century. The war we are fighting came to our shores on September the 11th, 2001. Ambassador, to come and represent our great country and extending our condolences to the people of Great Britain, to those who suffer. About relying on polls, but that's fine. That's the current wisdom these days. Look, we are laying the foundation for peace. Democracies don't war with each other. There's a debate going on around the world about the nature of this war on terror. I readily concede some think it's just a law enforcement matter. I believe we're in for an ideological struggle. I believe the people that cause such great harm, not only in America, but in other spots around the world, have an ideology that is vastly different from our ideology. One is based upon human rights, freedom of religion, the ability for people to express themselves in the public square without fear of reprisal. And they use tactics that are trying to drive us from the world. They will kill on a moment's notice. They kill innocent women and children because they want to shake our will. That's what they're trying to do. And they have objectives. Their objective is to topple government. Their objective is to control, to use power. And we just can't let them do that. And so I understand people aren't going to agree with decisions I make. But my job is to make decisions that I think are right and to lead. You know, I tell the American press corps all the time, following public polls is like chasing your tails, a dog chasing a tail. I truly believe we're laying the foundation for peace. I know the only way to defeat this ideology is with a better ideology based upon freedom and human rights and dignity, human dignity. And it hadn't been an easy period of time for a lot of people. I know that. And I feel strongly in my heart of hearts that the decisions we have made will make it easier for our grandchildren. To look back at this point, to grow up in a peaceful world, look back and say, thank goodness these people had the courage of their convictions. Different backgrounds and different opinions and different attitudes of the prospective nominees. I will let my legal experts deal with the ramifications of legal opinions. I'll talk to people it hadn't been an easy period of time for a lot of people. I know that. Okay, you said African continent. Our attitude is that the best way for I'm sure you're aware that the Sudan has been of great interest for us, and we've been deeply involved in providing. We'll be providing airlift capacity to help get those troops on the ground. The other day I announced that we're going to work with the folks on the ground there to help construct new camps so that the refugees will have better conditions. The whole idea is to want to get aid to people as quickly as possible so to prevent any mass starvation. And secondly, get a political settlement moving forward. The best way to deal with disputes and a civil war that make it awfully hard for human condition to improve is for African nations to be trained and equipped and prepared to do the job. It's my pleasure to be on terror. And here at Quantico, you're training and retraining for a critical mission. You're fighting the terrorists who wish to harm us. You're breaking up their cells. You're disrupting their financing. You're stopping them before they can strike our country and kill our citizens. Your work is difficult. It is dangerous. I want you to know how much your country appreciates you, and so do I.
thank the FBI folks who've welcomed me here. I also want to thank the DEA agents who are with us here today. By working to keep drug money from financing terror, you're playing an important part in this world, in this war. I want to thank the U.S. and international police officers who are training here. I want to thank the local first responders who joined us to protect us in times of emergency. I want to thank you for being on the front lines of fighting the terrorists. We gotta shut them down. Shut them down. Shut them down. Pleasure to be back here at Quantico, the FBI Academy. I'm honored to be with so many courageous men and women who have stepped forward to protect our nation. Today we are fighting a global war on terror. And here at Quantico, you're training and retraining for a critical mission. And that's to defend our homeland. Fighting the terrorists who wish to harm us. You're breaking up their sales. You're disrupting their financing. You are stopping them before they can strike our country and kill our citizens. Your work is difficult. It is dangerous. I want you to know how much your country appreciates you. And so do I. Welcome me here. I also want to thank the DEA agents who are with us here today. By working to keep drug money from financing terror, you're playing an important part in this world, in this war. I want to thank the U.S. and international police officers who are training here. I want to thank the local first responders who've joined us to protect us in times of emergency. I want to thank you for being on the front lines of fighting these terrorists. Quantico is also known as the crossroads of the Corps. In the war on terror, the Marines are serving with valor and distinction. You helped liberate 50 million people in Afghanistan and Iraq. Today, you stand between the American people and the worst dangers in the world. And this war, the Marines will fight in the words of the Rifleman's Creed, until victory is America's and there is no enemy.
George W. Bush.
Good morning. Thursday morning, terror struck at the heart of one of the world's great cities in a series of bombings that hit London's subway and bus system as thousands of commuters headed to work. We in America know the sense of loss that our British friends feel at this moment. We extend our sympathies to those who suffer terrible injuries, and we pray for the families mourning the loss of loved ones. In this dark hour, the people of Great Britain can know that the American people stand with them. These barbaric attacks occurred as world leaders gathered in Scotland for the G8 summit. While terrorists were killing innocent men and women in London, leaders at the G8 were discussing how free nations can combat poverty and HIV/AIDS, create a clean...
Mr. Prime Minister, welcome.
Thank you.
We've just had a very interesting and comprehensive discussion about our bilateral relations, which are strong. But Singapore is a country that has such an interesting position in the Far East. The Prime Minister brings a perspective about the U.S. role, about the future of the region, that I have found fascinating. The Prime Minister is a strategic thinker.
Thank you very much for the warm welcome. Thank you to the Hispanic Alliance for Free Trade for inviting me here today. And thanks to the Organization for American States for providing this fantastic forum.
No, I disagree, Terry. I think that the President was stating what is obvious when it comes to people who work in the administration.
If someone commits a crime, they're not going to be
working any longer in this administration.
And this is a serious investigation.
Now, the President talked about how
It is very important for
us to learn all the facts. We don't know all the facts. And
the
it's important that we not prejudge the outcome
based on media
of
reports.
The investigation. We need to let the investigation
and
the
people of
Great
Britain to comment
continue.
On this matter once
and
the investigation
investigators are the ones
complete.
Who are in the best position.
And may he continue
Brendan.
To bless America.
Yes,
thank
Brendan.
You for listening.
In your search for
to gather all the facts and
court,
draw the conclusions. And at that point, we will be more than happy to talk about it. As I indicated last week, the President directed the White House to cooperate fully, and that's what we've been
so
doing.
Find out the facts, because thousands,
I indicated to you earlier that everyone here serves at the pleasure of the President.
George W. Bush.
Good morning. Thursday morning, terrorists struck at the heart of one of the world's
the
great cities.
He said he doesn't know
and
all the facts.
A series of bombings that hit London subway and bus
system. We want to know what the facts are.
Because thousands of commuters
I'll tell you why. Because there's
work.
An investigation
we
that
America
is continuing at this point. The appropriate
people British friends feel
to handle these issues. Are the ones who are overseeing that investigation.
The
there's a special prosecutor that's
been appointed,
and we all want to know what the facts are. He'll be glad to talk about it once the investigation is complete, and we hope that the investigators get to the bottom of it soon.
Terror attacks occurred as world leaders gathered in Scotland for the G8 summit. While terrorists were killing innocent men and women in London, leaders at the G8 were discussing how free nations can combat poverty and HIV/AIDS. Create a
you
clean
just heard
environment
from the President. He said
and improve
he
the lives
the
of
facts.
People everywhere.
I don't know all the facts.
The contrast
we want to know what the
be
facts
more vivid
are because
between the intentions.
I'll tell you why. Because
no,
there's an investigation.
You just answered your own question.
We continue at this
with
point.
Those
and I will
encourage
every investigation
not
issues.
To that's exactly the ones
what
we're
investigating.
That
investigation. There's a special prosecutor that the President believes
is important
to let all the facts come out. And then at the investigators do their talk about it. But we shouldn't be getting
at that point once they've come to a conclusion.
We shouldn't be getting them.
We
should
be
happy to talk about it. The President wants to see them get to the
which
bottom of it as soon as possible. I share
this
that day as well. And want to know what the facts
way.
Are. And the investigators
and this
are the ones
agreement
who
is a constructive agreement. It's a constructive
agreement. Together this fact.
Thank you
for
Minister brings a perspective about the U.S. role.
Elaine. No, you just answered your question. You said we don't know all the facts. And I would encourage everyone
this is a
not to prejudge the outcome of the investigation.
And it is very important for people not
so
to prejudge.
Let me answer your question.
The investigation
is daily question.
Based on media reports.
The President has great faith in the
and again, I will be more than happy to comment on this matter once
President
the investigation
is
the
one who directed the White House
to
fully in this investigation with those who are overseeing the investigation. And that's exactly what we have been doing. The President believes it's to issue it with those who let the investigators do the investigation. And that's exactly what we have been doing. The President believes it's important to let the investigators do it. And at that point, once they've come to a conclusion, then we will be more than happy to talk about it. The President wants to see them get to the bottom of it as soon as possible. I share that view as well. We want to know what the facts are, and the investigators are the ones who are drawing those conclusions. together those facts, my drawing conclusions.
A dangerous two faced.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I'm very happy to be here to meet the President of the Oval Office.
Singapore and
America share many common interests and many similar perspectives on the world around us, particularly in
America. See, that's what's taking place all around the world. The homeland. People got our news. We're changing the whole way. Thank you all. We're all in this deal together.
We all have a responsibility.
Thank you. Please be seated.
And therefore, they sense to have a seamless capacity.
Thanks for the warm welcome. It's great to be back in North Carolina. It's always good. It's always good to get outside the Beltway and into NASCAR country.
Patriot Act closed dangerous gaps.
Laura called me. She was in Africa for the past week. She called me. She's fixing to arrive in Washington this evening. But yesterday she said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to North Carolina. I said, I'll be down there at the area where the Lowe's Motor Speedway is. She said, don't get any ideas. You're having a
sign that our economy
Patriot
is strong.
Authorized better sharing of information.
It's a sign that our tax relief plan, our pro-growth policies are working.
Before the Patriot Act, criminal investigators were separated from intelligence officers by a legal and bureaucratic wall. Imagine that.
We're ahead of projections now.
Yes, some investigators.
These numbers indicate that we're going to
problem. Somebody collected intelligence and they couldn't share information.
So long as Congress holds the line on spending.
So the Patriot Act broke down that wall. How in the heck can people expect us to protect our country when you can't share intelligence with people who investigate? Solemn duty. Patriot Act helped tear down the wall so that people can share information and work as a team and break up terror networks.
God bless you and your families.
Listen, finding our enemies in the war on terror is tough enough. Law enforcement should not be denied vital information their own colleagues already have. And so for the sake of our security, the United States Congress must not rebuild the wall that prevents law enforcement from doing its job. Patriot Act allowed investigators to pursue terrorists with the same tools they used against other criminals. Think about that statement. We had people that could use certain tools against drug dealers but couldn't against terrorists. Before the Patriot Act, it was easier to track the phone contacts of a drug dealer than the phone contacts of a terrorist.
Oh my God.
Before the Patriot Act, it was easier to get the credit card receipts of a tax cheat than that of an outside bank
roll.
Before the Patriot Act, agents could use wiretaps to investigate a person's
plan to perpetuate retribution. And even as the blue toxic smoke of our lesson in retribution is still hanging in the air, and there's ash on our shoes, and there's ash in our hair, and there's a fine silk on every lip from Hell's Kitchen open. Stores and priests and near misses, and soon every open bar is crammed to the rafters with tales of narrowly averted disasters and the whiskey's flowing. Here's a toast to all the folks that live in Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq, El Salvador. Here's a toast to all the folks living on the Pine Ridge Reservation under the stone cold gaze of Mount Rushmore. Here's a toast to all those nurses and doctors who daily provide women with a choice, who stand down a threat the size of Oklahoma City just to listen to a young woman's voice. Here's a toast to all those folks on death row right now, awaiting the executioner's guillotine, who are shackled there with dread and can only escape into their heads to find peace in a form of a dream. Peace in a form of a dream. Peace in the form of a dream. Cause take away our PlayStations and we are a third world nation under the thumb of some blue blood royal son who stole the Oval Office and that phony election. I mean, it don't take a weatherman to look around and see the weather. Jeb said he'd deliver Florida, folks, and boy, did he ever. And we hold these truths to be self-evident. Number one, George W. Bush is not president. Number two, America is not a true democracy. And number three, the media is not fooling me. 'Cause I'm a poem heeding hyperdistillation, and I've got no room for a lie so verbose. Yeah. Yes, I'm looking out over my whole human family, and I'm raising my glass in a toast. Here's to our last drink of fossil fuels. May we vow to get off of this sauce. Shoo away the swarms of commuter planes. Find that train ticket we lost. 'Cause once upon a time, the line followed the river and peeked into all the backyards. And the laundry was waving and the graffiti was teasing us from brick walls and bridges. We were rolling over ridges, through valleys, under stars. I dream of touring like Duke Ellington in my own railroad car. Yeah. Of waiting on the tall, blonde wooden benches in a grand station aglow with grace, and then standing out on the platform and feeling the air on my face. Give back the night its distant whistle, give the darkness back its soul, give the big oil companies the finger finally, and relearn how to rock and roll. Yes, the lessons are all around us, and the truth is waiting there. It's time to pick through the rubble, clean the streets, and clear the air. Get our government to pull its big dick out of the sand of someone else's desert. Put it back in his pants. Quit the hypocritical chants of freedom forever. 'Cause when one lone phone rang in 2001 at 10 after 9 on 911, which was the number we all call when that lone phone rang right off the wall, right off our desk and down the long hall, down the long stairs in a building so tall that the whole world turned just to watch it fall. While we're at it, remember the first time around? The bomb, the rider truck, the parking garage, the princess that didn't even feel the pee. Remember joking around in our apartment on Avenue D? Can you imagine how many paper coffee cups would have to change their design following a fantastical reversal of the New York skyline? It was a joke at the time. And that was just a few years ago, so let the record show that the FBI was all over that case, that the plot was obvious and in everybody's face. And scoping that scene religiously, the CIA, or is it KGB, committing countless crimes against humanity with this kind of eventuality as its excuse for abuse after expensive abuse, and they didn't have a clue. Look, another window to see through. Way up here on 104th floor. Look, another key, another door. 10% literal, 90% metaphor. 3,000 some poems disguised as people on an almost too perfect day. Must be more than pawns in some asshole's passion play. So now it's your job, and it's my job to make it that way. Sure.
My name is Scooter, and you've been listening to the thing you just listened to. And if you'd like to listen to more, just Google the inner side. And it comes up right up front. And I'll see y'all later.